Now let's start this collective with two teachings. First, we're going to hear from Mark Cameron, and he brings to the table thoughts on the importance of authenticity in relationship. And then Jackie Mac Harris will talk about re-traumatization. Let's listen.
Today, I want to talk about authenticity. So a couple of weeks ago, I ran out of the cologne that I liked, and I thought, you know what, let me see if I can get a deal because it's pretty expensive. And so I checked the local social media marketplaces, and I found someone pretty close to me who was selling the cologne that I liked. So messaged with him, made a deal, showed up there. He showed me the cologne. It was brand new, in the box package. I took it out, checked it out, and then I went home, paid him, went home. He told me a reasonable story about how he got it and why he was getting rid of it. Got home, and then I compared it to the bottle that I had, and there were some slight differences. And I did some checking via Google, and there are people out there who will tell you how can you check and see if a cologne is real or fake, and it turned out it was fake. But you know what? It got me thinking about the many people who jump into relationships quickly, thinking they've got the authentic article with someone, only to find out it crashes and burns. And in fact, somebody I know a few months ago emailed me, told me that they just got into a relationship with a new man. And she said, he's just so fantastic. And she just, you know, she asked me, you know, do you have any resources that will help me help this relationship grow? So I sent her. I suggested a couple of resources, but I also said, you know, make sure you look out for insecurities too, because in the initial phase of dating, there's this infatuation stage and where we idealize the other person, and we tend to have this bias where we will see things through a more positive light. Well, sure enough, just a couple of days ago, she emailed me and she started off with, "You were right." and this person, you know, it had been really good. But then he got into a stressful situation, and he went to stress response, and he shut her out, and that triggered her abandonment wounds, right? And so we find out a lot more about a person than by seeing them under stress than by seeing them relaxed. And so the Bible talks about our faith being tested by the refiner's fire in Malachi, and then in Proverbs talks about the Lord testing our hearts like the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. Now, when you have precious metals and you want to cast them into new objects, you heat them to a very high heat, and that temperature burns off the impurities. Now, someone once said fire has two elements, that of burning and that of shedding light. And I think the same thing happens with stress. It hurts, but it also sheds some light. So when you go on a date, next time you're planning a date with somebody who you're really excited about, think about asking some challenging questions, such as how did you contribute to the problems in your last relationship? What are you doing to work on this? Do you know your insecurities and triggers? What have you done to work on your reactivity? How do you resolve conflict? And for ladies, it's important to ask a man about his experiences with pornography and what he does to safeguard himself from it. Don't take easy answers like, that's not a problem for me. I don't do that anymore. He should be able to give you specifics about how he overcame that problem and the resources that he used and how he holds himself accountable. So don't be like me, only to discover you purchased an inauthentic article when it was too late. Do your homework first. And we got lots of resources at New Life to help you with that.
Absolutely. That's so good. I like to say it like this, you know, hang with a person until their best self wears off and the real self shows up. Because like many things, if I can tell on myself, back to some of these personality profiles and stuff like that, one of the Strength Finders things that I had in my profile was woo.
Woo, what does that mean?
woo just means this, is that I can come across as charming or personable or impressive. You know, wooing is a way to attract people.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the woo can be a fool's gold in a sense that, you know, again, what you see initially is maybe not what you get in the end. And I love this idea. I really, really loved. I was fascinated with the idea of stress test. You know, as heat is purifying, I'm like, anything that carries weight, anything that load bears, if it's going to be a thing of importance, it has to be stress tested. And so relationships will bear the load of life and experience in each other and pain, all of the things over a course of life. And have we stress tested our relationships? Have we stress tested ourselves to understand how we respond in certain situations?
Do you know, I think the question I came up with, Mark, was, you know, sorry for what I said when I was hungry. Sorry for what I said when I was stressed. You know, when you think about those stressful situations, mm-hmm. any of us can be our best selves without any pressure.
Yes.
But it's when the pressure comes and learning to create space. This is work that I've done on my own self. Friends may disagree, but no, I'm working really hard at creating that space, you know, just where those points of stress, you know, everything from when you have to wait longer than you thought you expected to wait, right? And then if you're in a romantic relationship, I've been in a romantic relationship for 40 plus years with my husband, but, you know, it's interesting because in the dating scene, we call it love bombing, right? Where mm-hmm. you have somebody that comes in and they're this, the greatest thing ever. And, you know, they could do no wrong. And we all know that that's not true. We're humans and we're going to do wrong. But boy, when you can figure out what those stressors are and how you can create space and breathe, you just feel better. You don't have to say you're sorry as much. I mean, it's just, it's really a powerful tool to really understand how our reactions make a difference.
Well, it's important that we recognize the idealization phase, that, you know, every relationship, every romantic relationship goes through the stage. Research shows us that. And it can last actually up to 2 years. I think for most people, it doesn't last that long. That's a long time. But you find out a lot, you know, we tend to go on dates and we create this excitement. And we want to see about commonalities and do we enjoy the same things. But really, I think the proof of how strong a relationship is going to be and how it's going to last is when you see somebody under stress. Because like you were saying, Chris, I think we all kind of have this woo factor about us. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the creativity that we have, you know, we all have strengths and talents and people will find those attractive. Mm-hmm. But it's learning to see, you know, how does somebody handle stress? You know, what are their triggers? We all have triggers. We all have core wounds that we've gained. And so it takes an incredible amount of insight to be able to look at yourself into mm-hmm. the mirror and see that. And it also takes an incredible amount of vulnerability to be able to share with someone who you are excited about some of your flaws and, mm-hmm. and some of the things that you struggle with.
And I think another factor of that is it is the things that we are attracted to in other people are typically not the things that are sustainable to relationship mm-hmm. over a lifetime. And so attraction and relationship are two different things. And sometimes mm-hmm. we get blinded by the fact that those are not synonymous. You know, they can be, but they mm-hmm. but it's a very dangerous assumption.
Well, and oftentimes the thing that we're attracted to is the thing that we're lacking in ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first got married, my wife said to me, and we didn't realize she had ADHD, but she said to me, you know, I love how, you know, so organized you are, and I want you to teach me that, right? And then later on, it's like, you're so rigid.
Yes.
You know? Yes. You're not spontaneous enough,
yep. Yeah.
Right? And so we flip to the other end and we devalue. You mm-hmm. know, when you idealize, you're going to tend to flip the other way at some point and then devalue.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know what's fun about that is that in this day and age of social media where you see what you think is reality in somebody else's life, it may not be accurate, but we're doing the same thing even in our interpersonal relationships, right? We want to put our best foot forward. What is the one thing, though, when you talk about core wounds, though, Mark, how do you recognize core wounds? Because you could always blame it on somebody else, right?
Well, and blaming is a defense strategy. It's typically when people blame, it's because they have a lot of shame. It's hard for them to look at at their flaws. And, you know, you guys know that I am a large proponent of attachment-based
yes.
therapy, and because the neuroscience, the research proves this, that the homes that we grow up in impact us.
Yes.
We learn everything about relationships that we know as we go into adulthood from mm-hmm. our families of origin, the families that we grow up in. And so how we go about getting our needs met or our expectations about those, or you know, do our emotions get recognized? Are they welcomed? Do we receive comfort from these experiences? We either get a positive experience or we get a negative experience. And whenever we get a negative experience, from both, we form beliefs. But from negative experiences, we form negative self-beliefs. And so some of those self-beliefs could be like, I'm not worthy, or my voice doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so it's learning how to look at that to see when those things come out in the present. And so usually when you get triggered, when you get upset, if you take a moment to pause and think about what just happened just then, mm-hmm. and has that happened to me before, and how did I react in childhood when this happened? Now, how did my parents address these things with me? You'll probably start to see some historical links.
Well, and that just comes to the realization and the truth that we don't come out of the womb knowing how to do relationship.
Oh, correct.
There's this weird thing. We come out as deeply relational beings. We have to have connection or we don't survive. But we learn how to relate over a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the thing I always like to say is that if you're with a person and you haven't read the previous chapters, you're going to have a hard time relating to them in their current chapter, you know?
Well, you know, but you know what, Chris, though, when you say, I love that, we learn to relate over a lifetime. But I would also say, but do we? A lot of times we get stuck in that blame or that pain.
Absolutely. And in that blame and that pain, you're, like you said, it's a shame response. It's to offload the stuckness, to offload this lack of solution to the problem that I'm experiencing. And that's where I see a lot of people have this blame, or underneath that, as you said, this core belief that I am fundamentally flawed, or, you know, and it sounds like I'm unworthy, I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable, I don't have what it mm-hmm. takes, whatever the case yep. may be, that makes me unsavory to another person, and rejection inevitable. And so if we don't know that those things are happening inside of us, you know, I use this analogy all the time. It's like a landmine with a tripwire. Mm. And you're going to walk through my tripwire and I'm going to explode. And then we're going to wonder why it's such a painful experience.
Well, and we all have those core wounds. So that's when I was talking about learning to ask these questions. Mm-hmm. People should have answers to these questions. If you've done the growth work, you should be able to pinpoint where you struggle mm-hmm. in life and where you hurt and how you get reacted. And if you don't, you know, that's an area of growth for you. You need to develop what I like to term, I didn't come up with this term, but the observing self, the active part of self-awareness that you look inside to ask what happened and why did that happen?
That's so important. What happened? Why did it happen? How did it impact me mm-hmm. or how did it form me in my relationships? Mm-hmm. You know, we take these things that are seemingly frustrating and mysterious. You know, I'm baffled that I mm-hmm. keep running into this problem over and over and over again. My anxiety is so sticky. My depression is so stubborn. My relationships just can't seem to work. Or my emotional life just seems really, really chaotic. I'm like, yes, well, one, welcome to the human condition. You know, we're glad that you're here. Been a card-carrying member since 1975. So with that said, the challenge is that we over time can adopt this thing like there is nothing I can do about that. Mm-hmm. And we know here at New Life that is fundamentally untrue. In fact, I would say that is a message from the pit of hell. Like, this mm-hmm. is like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we can't get to full healing and restoration because this ain't heaven.
Right.
But we can absolutely move the needle.